Here we are back again, huh? Y'all get a nap in? Yeah, must be nice. I only work one day a week. I got to stay awake for the whole day. Ecclesiastes chapter 1. If we go back to the book of Ecclesiastes, a book written by Solomon, a very wise man, had extraordinary wisdom given by God to have wisdom and understanding. Speaking of wisdom and the things that we know, the things we don't know, as the world is so vastly changing quickly in front of us, you know, one of the things that we could say as an excuse sometimes, you know, you could, like, people be bringing up something or, hey, we should do this, and you could say, like, yeah, it's not really my wheelhouse. Like, you could say that before. Like, it was a great excuse if you didn't want to do something or you didn't want to participate in it. You could say, yeah, that's just, I got to stay in my lane. That's not really my thing. I don't really know. No one's ever showed me that or taught me that. I don't have really a lot of experience with it. And we realize how quickly the world's changing, that you can't really use that for an excuse anymore. I mean, honestly, you can use AI to make yourself an expert in anything now, right? We've all done it. Like, you know, give me a deep dive into, you know, theoretical physics or something, you know? I mean, goodness, has anyone asked AI to make a time machine yet? I mean, it might be able to do it. I don't know. Like, you can just, everything, like, people talk about learning new languages with this new technology we have, and it's just so quick, and you know, you can really do a lot. You can dive into medical diagnoses. You can upload your medical charts, your blood results, and you can all of a sudden learn all these new things. If you have any question, you just ask a question. Can you explain? One of my favorite prompts is explain it like I'm an imbecile, you know? And it probably just knows and talks to me like I'm an imbecile now. My wife figured it out a long time ago. But, you know, and that's like, get me at a level where I can understand. And it's amazing. And we live in a day, I just think that things have changed so fast, it might do us good as we talk about a book of wisdom, at least an aspect of wisdom here for us to kind of stop and think about how this world is so filled with knowledge. You know, 100 years ago, you know, I could tell you, I mean, really anything, you're not going to know any better, but now, I mean, you can pull out and you can Google what I'm saying, right? And you know this. In fact, you know, and it's got to be a work of the devil to put, like, NFL games or whatever games on Sunday, because, I mean, you can get the scores. Do you imagine there was a time before, guys, you can get your sports scores in the middle of church? You actually had to focus on the Lord? Can you imagine that? Must have been awful. I don't know how they did it back then. But we have all this information right now, and we can get it instantly. We've never been so educated. In fact, it's amazing that everybody has an opinion about everything now. You ever notice that? Everybody has an opinion about everything because we have all this information. We're all aware. But at the same time, we've never seen the world, or at least our human condition, so empty at the same time. Here's Solomon, the wisest man of his day, but when he sought wisdom apart from God, he discovered it only deepened his frustration. And the point, the big picture I want to get across today, and I always like to be clear on Sunday nights, our kids take such good notes, and in fact, children, if you want to write a title, I know there's a spot for your notes for the title up there. You can write down the title as When Wisdom Isn't Enough. When Wisdom Isn't Enough, because wisdom can answer many questions, but it can't satisfy the soul without God. So we find ourselves in Ecclesiastes, and we went to the beginning of the first chapter last Sunday night, but let's go ahead and start in verse 12, and we'll read down to 18, and we get to see this pursuit of wisdom that Solomon has. He's trying to make sense of the world, much like we are today, to make sense, and wisdom, surely wisdom is the key to the answer of figuring out this world. So we see in verse 12, he says, I, the preacher, was king over Israel and Jerusalem, and I gave my heart to seek and to search out by wisdom concerning all things that are done under the sun. This sore travail hath God given to the sons of man to be exercised therewith. I have seen all the works that are done under the sun, and behold, all is vanity and vexation of spirit. That which is crooked cannot be made straight, and that which is wanting cannot be numbered. Communed with mine own heart, saying, lo, I am come to great estate, and I have gotten more wisdom than all they that have been before me in Jerusalem. Yea, my heart had great experience of wisdom and knowledge, and I gave my heart to know wisdom, to know madness and folly. I perceived that this also is vexation of spirit. For in much wisdom is much grief. And he that increaseth knowledge increaseth sorrow. Father, I come to you tonight and, Lord, ask that you would meet with us from the youngest to the oldest. And Lord, I pray that although we live in a time where many of our ancestors never could have dreamed of the application and the availability of knowledge in our day, to have all the information of the world, not just in an encyclopedia, but at our fingertips. Wisdom that and knowledge that some of old have spent their whole life searching for, and we have it in abundance. And Lord, help us to understand the conclusion that you come to. Lord, help all of us as we try to walk through this life that we're living today and trying to make sense of the chaos and trying to live right. Lord, show us from your word the truth. Lord, I'm thankful that you are God, that is not afar, that you are here. Lord, I'm thankful for the Holy Spirit to minister to us. So, Lord, I pray that you'd have your perfect will and way. And I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, children, taking your notes, point number one would be the pursuit of wisdom. The pursuit of wisdom. We see this in verse 12 and 13 that I have just read. Solomon had resources. He's the king. He's got everything. And he had a great position. And he had the intelligence to really pursue every field of knowledge. Learning is a unique experience, and sometimes we need a certain level of knowledge to ask the questions to get the right answers to continue growing in our knowledge. And so understand that God had given him that supernatural understanding and wisdom and knowledge, that here he is and he's looking for more. He's in a perfect position. This is not a lazy king. That he said he gave his whole heart to this pursuit. And it's amazing that he calls it in our verses right there. I believe it's in the middle of verse 13. As he gave his heart to seek and search out by wisdom concerning all things that are done under heaven. It says, this sore travail. He called it a sore travail. It's a burdensome task, he found it to be. To search out how the world works. Why is the things the way they are? How are the things and when are the things and all the questions of mankind as he goes to think them out? And he finds it to be a sore travail. It's a burdensome task because apart from God, knowledge is endless study with no eternal answer. We see today that people will chase knowledge. I, for one, and I'm going to go out on a limb here. I did not enjoy school, okay? I did not. I tried to do as little school as I possibly could. Got to be careful. My parents are here. I don't want to incriminate myself. I will say I had a lot of long lunches my senior year, okay? I did not like school. I loved college. I thought college was awesome. I had to stop doing all that dumb stuff. A lot of babysitting going on, I felt like, in high school, middle school, and all that. But college was like you show up and you learn what you want to learn. I liked college, especially as you got the general credits out of the way. You could really focus on the things that you're passionate about. I enjoyed it. In fact, it was a time in my life, like when I was done, it kind of bummed me out. I really enjoyed it. I felt like I was stopping this pursuit of bettering myself through a higher education, right? And so I don't know where you're at on that, but today that's what people chase. We chase knowledge. Why? We want to do good in high school and do good in ACTs, SATs, so we can get to a good school, a good college. And so why? So we can continue furthering on because knowledge and wisdom, that's going to set us apart in life. I've heard people say, listen, I could start all over again. Just leave me my library, meaning just give me the wisdom, the knowledge to be able to read these things. And there's endless reading. You can go to a library. You can go to the White Lake Library. Go to the self-help section. You'll find help for every problem you've ever had in your life and the problems you don't even know you have right now. It's out there. It's incredible. And sometimes we think it's going to fulfill us. There's many times that, let's get uncomfortable for a minute. Also comes to the point where a lot of times, and we teach our young people to do this, that getting the world's knowledge and the secular wisdom, it's more important than worshiping God. We'll forsake We'll forsake our worship of God because, well, that's the time my class meets, and that's why I want to be there. Because I believe what I'm going to be getting from that college lecturing is going to be more important than I'm going to get from the Word of God that day. Understand how important this is, and this is a big deal. I mean, I grew up in the day and age where you have to go to college. You have to do something. Go to a trade school. You have to do something. And I'm not saying don't do something. I'm saying that something is not the end all that's supposed to be for us. There's nothing good or nothing bad about educating yourself, but when we abandon the worship of God or we think that we're going to figure things out that way, you know, we get head knowledge, but we don't get the heart transformation. It still leaves us empty. And that's what Solomon's saying here. I did it, sore vexation, looked at everything, and came up empty because it didn't affect my heart. So children, write down point number two, the pain of understanding. Look at verse 14 and 15. I've seen all the works that are under the sun. Did you catch that phrase again? That's kind of the heading of our series title, of all these things that are under the sun. He said, I've seen all the works that are done under the sun, and behold, all is vanity and vexation of spirit. That which is crooked cannot be made straight, and that which is wanting cannot be numbered. He said, I've seen all the works under the sun. You're looking at life without a Christian worldview will lead to futility. If we try to take the biblical worldview and put it out of our minds and just search the world through the secular lens, we're going to end up with futility or vanity. We talked about vanity. Remember, vanity is you pull down the mirror in your car and you got that vanity mirror under the visor, right? Because you want to look good, you know? That's that vanity, that vainness, that emptiness because, you know, we don't really, you know, ladies, you're putting on your makeup in the morning driving, you know? You don't really look like that, you know? It's just that you're just painting it on, right? It's vanity. By the way, you know, keep doing it. I'm not preaching it's makeup, you know? I'm preaching myself in a lot of trouble tonight, you know? You know, you keep doing it. I'm not saying don't, you know? But keep going, you know. But just saying, at the end of the day, that's not your real face, okay? Guys, you can put lifts in your shoes. You know, you're not Ron Baker, okay? You know, it's vanity, you know. I want to be 6'25", you know. You can't do that, right? It's empty. It's nothing to that. So, you know, it's like the time I talked about that when I was really trying to impress my wife with my cooking skills. And if you've known me for a while, I can't cook. So when I tried to impress her one day, we were dating, I had her come over, and I had a plated half chicken with some vegetables and a side dish. It was great. I even sprinkled some seasoning so it went on the plate and it, so it looked like I actually did it. And I would have got away with it if not my dad had looked in the garbage, and he goes, oh, who had Boston Market? I bought Boston Market and replated it. It's vanity. I was trying to do something. I was trying to be something I'm really not because she married me and found out, hey, he can't cook. It's my mom's fault. You can get after her for that. Never taught me how. I don't know. I can't do laundry either while we're on that, but not going to air my dirty laundry, pun intended, right? Where are we at here? It's all vanity. All this wisdom. You get it. Okay, you understand it now. So what? He said, I got it. I can understand. I have more understanding than anybody can have. He says, and it's vexation of spirit, or we would say frustration. It's frustrating. I've learned all this. He's going to tell us why that is. Because in verse 15, he says, that which is crooked cannot be made straight, and that which is wanting cannot be numbered. Human wisdom sees a problem but can't fix it. Here's a frustrating thing. You go to the doctor and you say, I have a problem. I get a headache when I limp and then my heart palpitates. I don't know. And the doctor runs a test. I have no idea what it is. And you go to the next doctor, and the doctor goes, I have no idea what it is. And you're like, man, this is really frustrating. You're on the search, and you're going to U of M hospital, and they're doing tests on you. And finally, one day, a doctor calls you, goes, I got the results of your test. I got it. I got it for you. And you go, yes, we finally figured this out. And they say, you got whatever syndrome or whatever disease or whatever it is. And you go, yes, this is, we got it. We have it. And they say this, yeah, but there's no cure for it. Well, I'm glad I know, I guess. Knowing is power, G.I. Joe, you know. Like, what is it? I know it. And that's what he's saying. He says, that which is crooked, it's crooked. That's crooked. Okay, how do you make it straight? I don't know, but that's crooked. And that's what he's saying. He says, it's vexatious, frustration. The more I know, the more I know what's wrong. The more I know, the more I know that's not right. And it's frustration to me. Is anyone else like me? I'm a little OCD, like a little bit, right? Drives me nuts. Imagine me and poor Josh working with me. I walk in, I see stuff. I see details. By the way, he's done such a good job in the lobby because he knows. I'm going to want, I don't know. He'll do 1,000 things right. I'll see the one thing like, oh man, that nail and trim's out. I haven't done it to him. That'd be terrible, but I'll think it though, you know? Right? It's like the more you know, the more you see, the more. And we say, well, it's incurable. Everyone knows the world is broken. Now, a lot of people don't believe that sin entered the world through Adam and Eve and through all of that, but the lostest of the lost people, they know the world is broken, and they come up with their philosophies, right? We have socialism. We have all these different philosophies that are going to fix the problems, and by the way, man's philosophies and solutions just make everything worse. So we fix it, we understand it's broken, and we can diagnose sin, we can diagnose brokenness and suffering, but without God, there's no cure to it. And that's I believe, where he's coming from. I have the privilege that God's allowed me to spend time with people living their worst nightmare. There's times where I'm called into a situation where I'm praying the whole time going, Lord, I have nothing. Lord, it's going to have to be you. Lord, just please, just help me have the right words, the right demeanor, the right. Just give me, Lord, because I'm walking in this situation. There's no way I can put my arm around someone and go, I've been where you are. Because where they are, I hope never to be. And I hope never to meet someone in that situation again. I'm talking about that, those are the bad situations that we're around, right? On their worst possible time. And I found this. This is a common correlation I've noticed with so many people experiencing our worst nightmare. They have this pathological need to answer one question. And they'll look you in the face and they'll ask you this. And they'll say, but why? And I get asked that question no matter what the situation is, over and over. Why did this person do this? Why did this happen to me? Why would I happen to be here at the time and place where this happened? Why am I in this circumstance? Why? They want to have that same need to search out that wisdom, right? Because somehow they think if they can figure out why it's crooked, it'll magically be made straight. Now, it's a psychological thing we have in our brains. If I can just figure it out, then magically everything's better again. Now, think of the worst situations ever happened in your life, okay? And I'm not trying to drag out some really bad things, but whatever, you lost a loved one, or maybe you've been through the tragedy of divorce or something like that, but whatever it is, if you were to figure out why and you figured out why, like, I don't know, you got the autopsy reports back and you're like, oh, There was a blocked artery, or there's a congenital heart defect. Did it make the person alive again? Like, oh, I figured out how you died. Be alive again, you know? Oh, I figured out why our relationship failed, and magically we're back together, happily ever after. It doesn't work. All it did is this more vexation of spirit. We think knowing why will make everything straight that is crooked. If we can make sense of terrible things, that we'll all be okay. This is what we've been watching our country go through this last week. If we can just figure out why Charlie Kirk was shot, everything will be better. Well, it must be a grand conspiracy theory. It must be this or that. And you hear all the dumb stuff come out of the wood. No worse theology comes out than times of death. I don't know why that is. But this comes out. You start hearing all these things. Listen, nothing's going to change what happened. It happened. We can learn all the whys in the world, or we can learn none of the whys, and guess what? We're not still going to feel better about this. Because the more we increase in knowledge, the more we're aware of injustice, pain, corruption. But awareness without a relationship with God only brings us more despair. The more clearly we see the world, the more depressing it becomes if you leave God out of it. This is the problem that he's having. It's the pain of understanding. Now I can understand what's wrong. Is anyone else like me? I know they do this at the hospital. Like, you can go in there and just randomly get like a full body, like scan, check up everything. That terrifies me. Does that terrify anybody else? Why? Because they're going to call you up. Hey, we found 7 things, right? What's the phrase? Ignorance is what? Ignorance is bliss. Isn't there just some? I mean, I've heard people ask, like, my kids are the age, they'll ask those rhetorical questions, like, would you rather know how you're going to die or when you're going to die? I don't want to know either. Just tell me I'm going to be raptured. That's what I want to hear, right? Like, I don't want to know when I'm going to die. I don't want to know how I'm going to die. Because ignorance is bliss. I don't want to know everything that's wrong with me. And I'm so thankful as the Lord sanctifies and works through me, He kind of shows me things a little bit at a time, right? Because I think if I saw the whole thing, I don't know if I'd be able to get out of bed that morning, right? But we realize that the more understanding, the more things are messed up, the more things that are crooked, and we have this pathological ego. Why are you crooked? Why are you crooked? Because we can't make it straight again. That's what we see today. And it leads us to our last point. Number three, the paradox of learning. P-A-R-A-D-O-X. I had to ask my wife too, so just so you kids know. Paradox, okay? The paradox of learning. Look at verse 16, 17, 18. He goes, I commune with mine own heart, saying, lo, I am come to great estate and have gotten more wisdom than all they that have been before me in Jerusalem. In the race to find wisdom, Solomon won by a mile. He's further than you and I will ever make it, okay? So he's telling us way down the road, he's telling us the results, right? He says, yea, my heart had great experience of wisdom and knowledge, and I gave my heart to know wisdom and to know madness and folly. I perceive that this also is vexation of spirit. For in much wisdom is much grief, and he that increases knowledge increases sorrow. That's the paradox. The more we're looking for, because we think it's going to make it better, we're going to find joy in knowledge. Is the more I find of knowledge, the more sorrow I have. It's opposite. It's not what we expected. He surpasses everyone in wisdom, and he says, I've ended up with sorrow. Here's the paradox. The more you learn, the more you realize how little you know, right? It's the people who know a little bit are the most dangerous, because they'll tell you they know everything, right? The master of none, the jack of all type of person, right? But the more you learn, the more little you know. Like, the more you learn, the scarier things get. Like, I've often mentioned this before, and this does bother me a little bit, but, I mean, how are we not talking more about the super volcano underneath Yellowstone? Did anybody even learn about this in school? They're like, okay, underneath Yellowstone is a super volcano, and it goes off every once in a while, and when it goes, it's going to destroy the whole country, and it's overdue or something like that. I'm like, am I the only one that I would rather just live in ignorant bliss. I want to go visit Old Faithful and go, ooh. I don't want to think, yep, that is a ticking time bomb that's going to kill everybody someday. Have fun putting your kids to sleep tonight. Daddy, what is a super volcano? What's Pastor talking about? You're okay, we're in Michigan. Do you know last year we had 145 asteroids that got closer to us than the moon? Right? The more you know, right? The more you know, the more terrifying life gets. All of a sudden now the buzzword is microplastics. Right? I mean, before Pastor Josh was like, work on your macros, you're back. And I got to worry about my micros now. I got plastic in my lungs or something. Right? Like, what a plastic, what does it do, you know? It's like, oh, it does all these diseases. Like, oh, great, you know? Knowledge expands questions, but it doesn't provide the ultimate answers. I don't think we're made to live in a day of 24-hour tragedy. Like, we know what's going on all the way around the world. And the world is so big that there's always at least a couple things terrifying going on at the same time, right? I mean, like oh, yeah, wake up. Okay, we got like monkeypox in Africa now. Like, oh, great. Now I got to worry about monkeypox, right? And then there's a tsunami in Japan, and we got to worry about pirates in Somalia. And here's the thing, Dave, there's nothing you can do about it. These things are just, they just exist. And the more you know about these things, it's crooked, it's all right. But I can't do anything about it. And he says, oh, my sorrow just gets increased. I believe that's why the real world is so messed up. If I can maybe make it a little bit less funny and a little more realistic, Like I mentioned this last week, I've been so busy. I've been so busy, and I haven't been doing my good duties to my community. So I carved out a night, and I decided I'm gonna. We've had a lot going on. I'm gonna go out and I'm gonna serve with the White Lakes Finest. And I'm like a little kid in a police car. I'm like, let's get somebody, right? Like I want lights and sirens. You're like, oh, there's a lost dog. We better go code one. Let's do this, you know, right? Woo, woo! Like, can I do the wee woos? You know, they'd never let me do the wee woos, but like, all right, let's go! Woo, we gotta do this. Like, I want to put away bad guys. Like, I don't know about this. It feels good. Like, makes sense. Let's go meet someone on their worst day and let's make it better. Let's be the heroes. Let's go into a situation. Let's pull like old ladies out of burning buildings and like. Let's do this. And so I come in, I'm like kind of gung-ho. Like, I don't even want to scare, like, I don't want, the officer's like, I don't want to ride with him today. He's way too gung-ho, you know? So I just kind of chill out a little bit. But in my heart, I'm like, let's do this. Let's go save the world. Like, I want to be a cop. I want to go, let's go do, and if it gets too scary, I'm like, I'm just a chaplain. You know, I'll just, you do, I'll pray for you, you know? But I want to do this stuff. And so I get all excited, like, this is going to be so awesome. And I'm going to come home and tell my wife all the stories, how I saved a bunch of people, you know. And it's like, we had two calls kind of back-to-back early, and I can't get into it, but can I just tell you something? These situations we walked into, I just want to cry. It was so depressing. And we dealt with it. By the time I got back, it was really after the first call, we got back in the police car after the first call, and I remember just thinking, like, you know, I think I'm done. If you just want to drop me back off at my car, I don't think I want to go out anymore. I just, because I got to go see some pretty crooked situations and realizing that I can't make it right. I can't, what did I say? You can't bring the horse to water. I can't. People want help. They'll only go as far as they'll go with you. And you just can't. And it's just like, I hate the situation. I hate it. I hate that people live like this. I hate that this is somebody's daily life. I hate that this is probably somebody's Tuesday. And to me, it's a nightmare. I hate that there's kids in these situations. I got to be really careful because I don't want to, like, a sound clip of me saying, I want to kidnap children, like, out of context. But, like, I want to rescue them. It's terrible. And I just want to go home and go, I think I'm just done because... You look at these, and the more you learn, because, listen, I know we live in a great community. We do. We live in a great community. But every community kind of has a seedy underbelly. There's things that go on that you and I hopefully never have to deal with, but it's all around us. And when you're confronted with it, and you just, I'm just one man. I can't save everybody. I can't do everything. And you just want to smile. You just kind of want to throw your hands in the air like Solomon and just go, I'm just increased in sorrow. And by the way, Solomon's wisdom's way beyond ours. So his sorrow must have been way beyond ours. And you realize this is such a depressing part of the book, and we're just in the beginning of it. Because without God, wisdom is a burden. When I was in elementary school, I don't know what kind of programs they were running. Maybe it was middle school. I don't know. It all blurs back to me. But we had a program, they would actually put like special ed children or even Down syndrome children in class with us. For a while, my best friend was Down syndrome in the class. I just liked him. He was happy all the time, right? And I'm not making fun of him. I'm just, there was an intelligence deficit there. But the intelligence deficit kind of didn't have the anxiety and the depression that it seems like the more we learn, the more we have. And again, I've given the illustration of my dog. He's so happy because he's got nothing to think about. But here we are, and we realize what Solomon is saying. I know, the more I know, the more I don't want to know anymore. It's a burden. It opens our eyes, but it doesn't heal our heart. We end up with a head full of information, but still an empty heart. Education, philosophy, science cannot answer the deepest questions. It can't get us down to what we originally were searching for. Who am I, why am I here, and where am I going? And the problem remains the same. Did you see it? It was in verse 14. Seen. Where is he looking? He's looking at the works that are done where? Under the sun. What is it in verse 13? He talks about the things that are done under heaven. You know, the problem is when we get ourselves in these situations, I'm telling you, I have to calibrate myself sometimes and go, whoa, let's back up, back up, back up. I'm too close. I'm looking at things under heaven. I'm looking at things under the sun. Yeah, there's a street in White Lake that I spent way too much time on in the middle of the night, and I come home, my wife, what happened? What? You know, she's expecting me to tell her like some 80s cop drama movie or something like that, and I'm like, I don't want to talk about it. You don't even want to hear what I have to tell you. This is. My kids are like, Dad, how many people did you guys like gun down today? You know, it's like, none. You know, we just did. There's nothing going on. I've got a couple speeders, which is, I guess, kind of fun. You know, like. My favorite is when people drive by and they realize you're a police car and they hit the brakes real hard and go 10 and 2. At least that's what they're supposed to do. Excuse me. I'm sorry. When I get too serious sometimes, I don't like being that serious. I had to break the title. But anyways, the problem is we need to zoom out and we got to focus our vision above the sun. That's the problem. Here's what I want to say with that. I know I've kind of a lot of heavy, but here's the big thing right here. It changes everything, because above the sun, above the heaven is my God, okay? And he is in control. I get my little microscope, and I look at these situations on earth, and I just go, oh, there's no hope. It's crooked. Ah. And some people, you say, let me help you. I'm going to straighten this out in your life. And then they let you go so far, and they smack you, and they go, no, we like it just a little crooked. And you just go, oh, there's just no hope, there's despair, let's just give up, let's just be done, this is hopeless. And we got back up, and go, wait a minute, no, let me tell you something, God is in control. He's there, he knows us, he cares about things, and he has a purpose in all things. And I don't have to figure out everything. I just got to trust the one who has it all figured out. I know some people have asked me, Pastor, are you worried about the road out there? What are we going to do about there's a bunch of spots and they're all messed up. And you know what I've been telling people? I mean, it concerns me. I said, I'm not really that, it doesn't, I don't stay awake at night thinking about the road because I know Don's doing it. I know that he's staying awake all night thinking about it. You laugh, but here's the thing. I've worked with Don. I've known Don for 15 or so years. I trust him with anything. I trust him with my children. I just know that he's making the phone calls. He's talking to contractors. He's on top of things. If there's a problem, he'll let me know. But I just know he's got it. So I don't have to worry about it. And a lot of people ask him about the lobby. We need to put a new rug in here. Are you worried? I'm not worried one bit. Why? Because Josh has it. That's his problem. I'm not up here late on a Saturday trying to put trim up. Because Josh is up here late on a Saturday night putting trim up. I trust him. I've worked with him for a long time. I know his heart. He's good at what he does. He's fantastic. It blows me away. Every time I give him a tiny little job, he goes above and beyond. It's amazing. And so I don't need to. He has it all under control. So we start looking at the world and go, man, we just had an assassination. And we've all seen the videos now. And then we have this going on in the world. And we have this going on in the world. And are you worried about it? Nope. Because God knows what he's doing. All I have to do is just be obedient to him. He has it all under control. See, Solomon's despair points us forward to Jesus. I think we have to know the problem before we can appreciate the solution. And Solomon's telling us, he's showing us, he's saying, this is bad. And he's like, you think you're smart? I'm way smarter than you. And look where I've ended up. You're not going to outsmart the depravity of man. You're not going to outsmart the crookedness of the world. You're not going to outsmart these things. In fact, the closer you get, the worse you're going to feel about it. So it points us to Jesus. In fact, just make sure you guys aren't sleeping. At Larry, can you throw up Colossians 2:3? It went too easy on them tonight. I said, gave them some more verses. Colossians 2:3, talking about Christ, it says, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. In whom, are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. And that tells me my primary wisdom-seeking direction should be searching out the riches in Christ. If I can just get closer to Jesus, if I can learn more about him in Scripture, I'll learn the wisdom and knowledge I need. But here's the most beautiful thing. I also get the worldview that Jesus Christ is in charge and he has a plan and God is so good and I can trust him because he's trustworthy. We just went through Hebrews 11. We've seen all the people who have testified of the trustworthiness of God. See, the pursuit of wisdom under the sun leads to frustration, but the pursuit of Christ, the wisdom from above, leads to a life and it leads to peace. So here's the hope we have tonight. Here's where we want to end is we don't have to drown in unanswered questions. There's times, so sometimes you can say, this is not my wheelhouse, I don't know. But it comes to the spiritual things. We don't have to drown those unanswered questions. We can rest in the one who has the answer. He has the answer. And if we can just step out, every once in a while we can step back and just realize that, why am I acting like this? Why am I feeling like this? Why am I thinking like this? It's because we're looking under the sun. We're looking at, under the sun does not have the answers. It's the problem. Everything under the sun is corrupt, it's broken, but above the sun. That's where our Lord Jesus Christ sits on the throne, on the right hand of the Father. And I'm telling you, he makes intercession for us. And nothing's going to surprise him. Nothing is going to happen outside of his foreknowledge, that he has a plan, and I don't know it. Pastor, why is this happening in my life? Why is this going on? I don't know, but I know him, and he is good, and he is faithful, and he is trustworthy. Keep your eyes above the sun, and you will find hope.